ज्ञाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते सप्त कांचन गौरांगे राधे महेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So I seek the blessings of all the senior devotees so that despite my fallen condition, I can try to speak something on the exalted subject of Srimati Radharani on her supremely auspicious appearance. Once a senior devotee was giving class and he asked at the start of the class, "So which verse do you want me to speak on? Any verse you tell, I'll speak on that." So some people started thinking, very proud, think I can speak on any verse. Then he said, "Actually, whatever verse you tell me to speak on, I'll speak on the same thing. I'll start from whatever topic I want, I'll speak on the same thing." So actually, the topic of Radharani is a very exalted topic. And one advantage of being a traveling preacher is that you can speak the same stuff at different places. But since last year I spoke on Rahashtami here, so I was not sure what to speak this year. I had never given two festival classes at the same place. So I'll try to speak in a non-esoteric way on an esoteric subject today. So Radharani is mentioned indirectly in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Rasa Panchadhyaya. The Srimad Bhagavatam has 335 chapters, out of which the biggest section, 90 chapters, are in the 10th canto. And the 10th canto, within that, the heart of the 10th canto is considered to be the Rasa Panchadhyaya, chapters 29 to 33. The five chapters describing the Rasa Leela. So within those chapters also, Radharani is actually pointed to very indirectly. Anya Radhita. Indirect references there in one verse where Shukadeva Goswami indicates that actually Radharani, that there was one special gopi who worshipped Krishna in a very special way, because of which Krishna went away with her alone during the Rasa Leela. So Sanatana Goswami has written a commentary on the 10th canto called the Dasham Timpani. And there he describes how the Bhagavatam's structure flows, especially the 10th canto. And he makes an interesting difference between Smriti and Spurti. Smriti, he says, is cultivated remembrance. And Spurti is spontaneous remembrance. So for example, we come in front of the deities and then we see the beautiful deities. We may recite some prayers and then try to cultivate absorption in Krishna. That is cultivated remembrance. But for those who have love for Krishna, as soon as they come in front, immediately a thought starts flooding. And sometimes even without a stimulus also, even if they are not in the temple, suddenly thoughts start flooding. But it is spontaneous remembrance. So he explains that the Bhagavatam's first nine cantos are manifestation of Smriti. Shukadeva Goswami is contemplating how he can best guide Parikshit Maharaj to prepare for his final exam in his last 7 days. But as he goes into the 10th canto, his ecstasy becomes more and more. He's all throughout ecstatic, of course, but there's ecstasy that is to some extent regulated, and that's ecstasy that goes out of regulation. So from the 29th chapter onwards, when he starts speaking about the gopis whose love for Krishna is so exalted, the ecstasy starts becoming more and more, and he manages to restrain his ecstasy for a few more chapters also. Till 55th chapter, the Bhagavatam is more or less chronological, and after the 55th chapter, the Bhagavatam becomes more inspirational, driven by whatever is inspiring Shukadeva Goswami, rather than chronological. So after the marriage with Rukmini, immediately the appearance of her sons are described. Then Krishna's marriage with other gopis is described. And then the Bhagavatam loses its chronological flow. And this is actually not a loss, this is a gain. Because it reveals the intense heart of Shukadeva Goswami. So even without mentioning Radharani, even by mentioning her just indirectly, still his ecstasy becomes so great that eventually he becomes overwhelmed by ecstasy. And he speaks spontaneously. But that point that we often hear, that because Radharani is such an exalted devotee and her devotion is so great, that Shukadeva Goswami would have been so overwhelmed by ecstasy that he could not have spoken any further. He would have just fainted in ecstasy. We'll talk about fainting a little bit later. So Shukadeva Goswami is very restrained in his mention of Srimati Radharani. And yet, the later bhakti tradition has revealed her central position. Now suppose we come into an unknown house. It's a big house, and then we find there's one small opening somewhere. And then we go into that opening and we find actually there's an even bigger hall over there. And that is so big that what was earlier it seemed very grand, but now this hall is just stupendous. So similarly, in the Bhagavatam itself is a huge book. As I said, 335 chapters, thousands upon thousands of verses. Within that, the Rasa Panchadhyaya appears like a small opening. But when our acharyas lead us through that opening, then they find that there's a whole universe over there. In fact, most of the Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas have commented primarily on the 10th canto. And even on the 10th canto, many of them have commented on the Rasa Panchadhyaya. So, Anand Vrindavan Champu is a book in which Kavi Karanapur focuses on Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And there, he has elaborated the Rasa Leela in a very poetic and riveting manner. So, I'll speak some aspects of his description over here and see how explain how that elaborates on what is given in the Bhagavata. The Rasa Panchadhyaya basically has 5 chapters. And Kavi Karanapur explains that the whole Rasa Panchadhyaya is not just about Krishna performing the Rasa Leela with his gopis, but it is also about demonstrating the supremacy of Radharani's love for Krishna. Radharani is one of the gopis at the start of the Rasa Leela. In the Bhagavatam's view, she's one of the many gopis. But by the end of the Rasa Leela, she is revealed as the most special gopi. And not only is her speciality revealed by Krishna choosing her, but it is also revealed by her own actions. And that will be the theme of our discussion. So the flow of these 5 chapters is that the 29th chapter is where Krishna calls the gopis by playing his flute. And the gopis leave everything and rush towards Krishna. Pati sutanvaya bhratra bandhavan ati vilangyate antyachyutagataha. They give up everyone and everything. They give up all shackles, all restraints, and just rush towards Krishna. The gopis actually demonstrate what is the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. They give up all other duties. His duties are important, their family members. But for Krishna's sake, everything can be given up. And in that sense, the gopis demonstrate the supreme surrender. And they come and meet Krishna. Krishna has some friendly banter with them. After which, at the end of that chapter, Krishna suddenly disappears. And then the 30th chapter is the gopis frantically searching for Krishna. The search, they go so deep into the forest to a point where even the moonlight can't penetrate. They can't even see their hands in front of them. And they feel there's no point in searching now. And then they return, dejected. They come back to the banks of the Jamuna, sit on the banks of Jamuna and offer fervent prayers to Krishna. Those prayers are the Gopi Gita. That is chapter 31. And then, based on their fervent call, Krishna appears at the start of the 32nd chapter, where there is a conversation between the gopis and Krishna, where the gopis are both angry with Krishna and are afraid of expressing their anger. They're angry because how can the Krishna, after calling us like this, leave us? But they're afraid to express their anger because they think Krishna may leave us again. So they in an indirect way try to chide him for having deserted them. And then Krishna describes how his leaving them was actually out of his love for them. And then the 33rd chapter is the celebration of rasa, where the gopis and Krishna, they perform the rasa dance. So rasa dance just starts at the end of the 29th chapter, but it stops because Krishna disappears. So Nanandam Champu has several chapters which elaborate these 5 chapters. In fact, there are several chapters which elaborate each of these chapters. So I will focus on the 30th chapter, where Krishna leaves the gopis. Now there are multiple levels at which the rasa leela can be understood. So when the gopis and Krishna meet, and then they are about to start performing the rasa leela, and at that time, at one level, it is said that the gopis become proud. Oh, we are so special that Krishna is performing dance with us. That Krishna has called for us. Among everyone in the world, Krishna considers us so special that he has called us, especially invited us, and is performing leela with us. When the gopis think like this, when this tinge of pride comes in their heart, Krishna does not tolerate this pride. And Krishna departs, leaves them all alone, except he takes one gopi with him. And that special gopi is Shrimati Radharani. And when Krishna and Radharani are there talking and they are performing leela, at that time Radharani sees, oh, Krishna is only with me. Oh, Krishna loves me so much. Krishna loves me so much. Krishna loves me alone. And when she thinks like this, and she becomes, a tinge of pride comes in her heart. At that time, Krishna leaves even her and goes away. Now this is one level of understanding this pastime. And from the Gaudiya Vaishnava point of view, it is an external understanding. Yes, it is true that Krishna does not like pride in his devotees. And this is such an important lesson that we can learn it even from the Rasa Leela. But actually, the gopis are such exalted devotees, and among them Radharani is so exalted, that mundane pride can never even touch their hearts. So actually, Kavi Karnapur describes that when the gopis are performing leela with Krishna, at that time, the gopis think, oh, we are so fortunate that Krishna is with all of us. But we know that Radharani's love for Krishna is far, far, far more than our love for Krishna. And we want that love to be known to the world. We want that everybody know her special love. And with this desire that her love be singularly distinguished, the gopis act as if they have become proud. It is not that the gopis become proud, it is their selflessness by which they want Radharani's love to be demonstrated and celebrated, because of which they act as if they are proud. It's like if there is, say, a team of devotees who has done some wonderful service. The team of book distributors has gone for done a lot of book distribution. And then that team is felicitated. Now, if in that team there is one leader whose performance is outstanding, even among this whole group of outstanding performers, then if there is good camaraderie between the team, then when they are all being felicitated, the team members will say, yes, among us, this is our leader. This person has done outstanding service. And they would want that person's outstanding service to be known. So similarly, the gopis, they are all extraordinary devotees. But among them, Radharani is the topmost. And they want Radharani's love to be celebrated. And thus, they act as if they are proud, so that Krishna leaves them and goes away. When Krishna leaves them suddenly and goes away. Now when we talk about this, that they act as if proud. Now we have to understand that this acting is not just a show put on for a purpose. Actually, when in Leela, whenever any role is performed, the participant actually enters deep into that role. So for example, when Yashoda Mai catches a stick and she says, Krishna, I will beat you. So, Vaktram Niniya Bhayabhavanaya Stitasya. So when it is said that, Kunti Maharani says, remember this pastime, and she says that Krishna is looking down, his eyes are filled with fear. There are tears in his eyes as the mascara is flowing down along with the tears. Now this is not just a show. Actually, Krishna feels fear. Oh, my mother, she's angry, she will beat me. And he feels fearful. What should I do? How can I avoid this beating? So when we say that it is a leela, that does not mean the feelings are not real. At a subconscious level, certain higher purposes may be served. But at a conscious level for them, they actually go through those emotions. So when the gopis see that Krishna has left them, they are not just thinking, oh, now our plan is working, now Krishna will go with Radharani. That is at a subconscious level that is there. They want Radharani to be glorified. But at a conscious level, they are devastated. Krishna was with us. And suddenly, Krishna has just left. Where is Krishna gone? I think, is Krishna playing a joke with us? Maybe just hiding somewhere and we can't see him. And they look around, search around, call out to Krishna. Nowhere can they see Krishna. And their agony becomes so unbearable, calling out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And they can't see Krishna anywhere. They feel devastated. And at that time, they go mad in love for Krishna. No, actually, the Chaitanya Charitamrita repeatedly talks about a kind of madness called as Divya Unmad. Unmad is madness. Divya Unmad is divine madness. So, there was a famous doctor who treated mad people. And he was a therapist for people who were mentally unstable in a mental asylum, sort of mental health care center. And he said, sometimes I feel that these people, do they really need treatment? Because they're happier in their madness than in their real life. So their real life was so distressful that caused a psychological trauma. And then they went mad. And now in their imaginary world created by their madness, they're happy. They're happy. So there's a joke about an Indian Prime Minister. He once went to just wanted to do some PR work. So he went to a mental asylum, an unplanned visit. And then he went to a person and he said, how are you? Who are you? That person asked. Say, I am the Prime Minister of India. When I came here, I was saying the same thing. So, one mad person thinks that everyone else is mad. They are not aware of the reality. So, Srila Prabhupada writes that actually everyone is dancing in Raslila. That everyone is dancing according to Maya. That there are people in this material world who are dancing according to Mahamaya. And there are devotees in the spiritual world who are dancing according to Yoga Maya. So, in one sense, madness is unavoidable. What is there for us to is to choose which kind of madness we want. Materialistic people, you know, they are also mad. They are mad for sports, they are mad for TV. Now there is this video game Pokemon Go. People are mad, just lost for hours going here, going there, and just travel trying to catch a Pokemon, and then they wonder, where have I come now? So this material world, actually, people just cannot live without becoming lost in something, becoming mad. So there was a survey done of people in the first world countries. They said that people, 5% of the time they are happy, 5% of the time they are miserable, and 90% of the time they are bored. So most of the time, life at the material level is not very stimulating. And one way to escape that is to seek some stimulation. To seek some stimulation, and people try to go mad in getting that stimulation. So there is material madness and there is spiritual madness. So in this case, the gopis, when they see that Krishna has disappeared from them, they just go mad. And when they go mad, they describe that when, psychologically, that when there is too much pain, either at the physical level or the mental level, when the pain becomes unbearable for us to sustain, the body has two main defense mechanisms. One is the body falls unconscious. So when we fall unconscious, then we don't feel the pain. Or the person goes mad. Because when they get mad, then they withdraw from the reality that is painful and they imagine that they're in some other reality. So actually we'll see that when this pastime progresses, that the gopis, they go mad because they can't tolerate the separation from Krishna. And later on we'll see Radharani, she faints in separation from Krishna. So here when the gopis see Krishna is here and Krishna is suddenly not there, where is Krishna gone? They just can't understand it. So it's like, you know, it's a mundane example, but this may give us some idea of the agony. Now suppose, let's say today afternoon there is a feast and there is some item which is very delicious and, you know, we just want to savor it fully. So we take it, close our eyes, and, you know, we are tasting every single morsel of that. And then as we are tasting it, we put our hand down to take another handful. There is nothing there. We look, the whole plate has disappeared. So, like that, the gopis are relishing Krishna's presence. They are beholding his beauty with their eyes. They are feeling his fragrance with their nose. They are sensing Krishna's presence with all their senses. And they are relishing that presence. And as they are completely absorbed in relishing that presence, suddenly, this Krishna disappears. No explanation, no intimation, no warning. Krishna is there one moment, next moment he disappears. The gopis are devastated. And when they are devastated, they start looking for Krishna. And Ananda Chappu gives the example, for the gopis, in their sense, they always had intense love for Krishna. But at this point, when they were about to unite with Krishna, at that time when Krishna disappears, it is like a person has a wound, and then we open the wound to, say, heal it or to stitch it. And after the wound has been opened, then somebody pours lemon water on it. Lemon juice on it. The pain is unbearable. So for the gopis, at that point, the pain was unbearable. The only way they could maintain their life and maintain their consciousness was just becoming mad in thoughts of Krishna. So they start, it is described in the Bhagavatam, that they start enacting Krishna's pastimes. How Krishna danced on Kaliya, how Krishna killed various demons. But Anandavan Chappu describes that this was not just an enactment. The gopis, in order to somehow feel the presence of Krishna, they entered into those pastimes. And they were completely lost over there. So, the Kavikarnapur describes elaborately the exalted love of the gopis. So, we should not think that when Radharani is the highest, that does not mean the other gopis are anything low. The other gopis are also exalted. We are all talking about very exalted levels of spiritual realization. Sometimes some devotees, they say that actually, you know, we are worshipping Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We are going to Golok Vrindavan. We are not going to Vaikuntha. So we sometimes treat Vaikuntha as if it is like our backyard. We are not interested. No, Vaikuntha is also the spiritual world. It is also the abode of eternal happiness. So just because Golok Vrindavan is higher than Vaikuntha, that does not mean Vaikuntha is anything insignificant. So similarly, the Radharani is the topmost devotee. But that does not mean the gopis are any ordinary souls or ordinary devotees. They are extraordinary. And they just get completely absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna. And they are mad. They start asking the deer, they start asking the trees, they start asking the birds, where is Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? And they're mad in their desperation to see Krishna. And they start chasing, going here, going there, looking somewhere for Krishna. They're not able to find. And then suddenly they see the footprints of Krishna. And they're delighted. Yes, Krishna must be here somewhere. Krishna is just close by. And as they're looking at the footprints of Krishna, they see another set of footprints. Now it is described that actually there are two sets of gopis. There are the gopis headed by Radharani and there are the gopis headed by Chandravali. So now there is mutual competition between the two, and that competition is actually pleasing to Krishna. So when the gopis who are in Radharani's group, when they see that, oh, Radharani's footprints are there with Krishna, they become delighted. And the gopis who are in Chandravali's group, they become agitated. Why has Krishna gone with Radharani? But both of them, their intention is to increase the pleasure of Krishna. And they start looking after the footprints, pursuing the footprints. And they try to find out, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is this special gopi who is also with Krishna? In the meanwhile, Radharani is there with Krishna. And her heart is overflowing with joy, thinking that, oh, Krishna is with me. She looks around and sees Krishna is taking her deeper into the forest. And as they're going deeper and deeper into the forest, Radharani at one level feels great joy. But then at another level, immediately the next moment she starts thinking, how can I enjoy alone? And what must be the state of Lalita, Vishakha, Chitra, all of them? Being separated from Krishna, they will be shattered. They will be shattered. And therefore, I cannot enjoy like this. She starts thinking what to do. Krishna is absorbed in delight being with Radharani. And then Radharani thinks, what should I do? How can I ensure that other gopis also catch up? She knows that. They know each other's heart. They know that the gopis will be frantically searching for us. So she thinks that somehow I'll get Krishna to slow down. She says, Krishna, she tells Krishna, Krishna, no, we have been walking for a long time now. I'm tired. You know, unless we find something to carry, I cannot walk any further. So, when she speaks this, now obviously she also knows there's nothing in the forest to carry. There's no horse, there's no chariot. So her purpose is, she just wants to, in a gentle way, tell Krishna, Krishna, let's stop here. But Krishna takes it in a viparit bhav. Krishna becomes angry. And in an angry tone, he speaks to her. Because we are in a forest, O queen, there is nothing to carry. So therefore, you can climb on my back and carry you. And Radharani is alarmed to hear this tone of Krishna's voice. Normally a tone also conveys. Now sometimes, you know, a couple may be quarreling and say, you don't love me. I love you! Now, the words are saying, I love you, but basically the tone is saying, I'm mad at you. So, what happens is, that Krishna speaks in an angry tone. Radha is alarmed. She looks around, and at that moment she sees Krishna has disappeared. And Krishna has just completely disappeared. And she is shocked. Is Krishna? Krishna? She starts calling out desperately to Krishna. And as she calls out to Krishna desperately, Krishna, there is no sound at all. The whole forest is deadly silent. It's completely silent, and there's nothing that Radharani hears. And in her desperation to feel Krishna's presence, she starts having an imaginary conversation with Krishna. She feels that Krishna will somehow hear my words and Krishna will return. So she speaks in her own voice and she speaks also in Krishna's voice. She's hoping that Krishna will hear what I'm speaking. Krishna is here somewhere and he's observing me. So if one person gets upset in a relationship, the other person tries to persuade them. So she is hoping that Krishna is not there, so I cannot persuade him. But I know what Krishna is likely to speak. So I will speak on Krishna's side also, and then I will try to counter whatever he's saying, and I'll try to persuade him. So at that time, she says, "Oh Krishna, please, how can you leave me and go away? Please come back." Krishna says, "You know, you became proud. I don't tolerate pride in those who love me. Therefore, I have left you." So Radharani is so desperate. She takes a very humble role. "Yes, Krishna, I know that you don't like pride. But please hear me. It was not pride which made me speak those words. I spoke that out of wisdom, out of concern for the other gopis. Now, they would be desolate in separation from you. And that is why I spoke those words. So that you would slow down and they will come here." Krishna still angry. He says, "Still, I didn't like the words that you spoke. I didn't like that you spoke like this to me." Krishna says, "Yes, Krishna, but just think, if you leave me and go away, I'll be shattered. I'll fall unconscious. And when all the other gopis come searching for me, and when they see that you have left me all alone, what will they think about you? What kind of lover are you that you left me all alone? Therefore, for their sake, for the sake of their love for them, for you and your love for them, please, Krishna, come back." Krishna is still angry. Krishna says, No, I left them and I have left you also. I rejected all of you equally now. I don't care what any of you think about me." So Radhan is desperate. He says, "Oh Krishna, actually, if you leave me, I will die. Then you will have to come back and you will have to carry my dead body. You refused to carry me when I was alive, and that refusal will make you carry me when I die. So please come back." So Krishna says, "No, I left the other gopis. They did not die. So even if I leave you, you are also not going to die." So Radhani says, "No, but the other gopis, they are together with each other. They can remind each other of you, and therefore they have some solace. But Krishna, I am all alone. I am all alone. If I don't have your presence, I will not be able to sustain your life, sustain my life. Please, Krishna, come back." Krishna is still angry. He will soften. Still he says, "Oh Radha, your form is the abode of all beauty and sweetness. Why do you want to leave that? Just for my sake. Just because I have left you. You are so beautiful." So Radharani says, "No, cursed is the moonlight without the moon. Cursed is the night without the moon. Cursed is the lotus without the night. Cursed is the lover whose beloved has left her. Krishna, my beauty, my sweetness are all meant only for you. If you are not there, I have no use of my life. I have no use of my beauty. I have no use of my sweetness." Radhani, tears are flowing down her eyes. She's shattered by Krishna's repeated refusal to reappear. And the snake of separation from Krishna has been swirling all around her. Sometimes when a snake is going to bite someone and a snake knows I have got the victim in my clutches, then the snake may just move its fangs around to terrorize the person. And then as the terror increases, the snake swoops down and bites. So in all this time, Kavikarana Puru says, the snake of separation from Krishna was swirling around Krishna, showing its fangs. But when Radharani spoke these final words, a desperate call for Krishna to appear, and still Krishna did not appear, then that snake of separation entered into Radharani, the cave of Radharani's heart, and stung her there with a lethal bite. And Radharani, she was standing desperately, her hair disheveled, her clothes disheveled, tears spreading her mascara all over her face, calling out to Krishna. And suddenly, one moment she was standing and calling, the next moment she fell down. So she became unconscious. And that unconsciousness was the only way she could maintain her life. Her last thoughts just before she fell into unconsciousness was that Krishna cannot leave me like this. Krishna will surely come back. And if I die, then who will be there to serve Krishna? Who will be there to serve Krishna if I die? And therefore, I will not die. And she's thinking like that. The separation from Krishna, the snake bite of separation, which would normally have killed her, because her desire to serve Krishna was so strong, that snake bite of separation, instead of killing her, sent her into unconsciousness. Total unconsciousness, she fell on the ground. Her whole body spread wide apart. And the gopis in the meanwhile are still searching for Krishna. They're searching for Krishna. They're searching for the special gopi who is with Krishna. And they come closer and closer and closer. And as they come closer, they see that there are these two footprints, and then there is a place where the footprints are there for a long time. If somebody stands for a long time, the footprints become deeper. So at this point, the footprints have become deeper and deeper. And they see, oh, Krishna must have stood here for a long time. And then they see that they must have been talking over here something. And then they look around and they see suddenly it's as if both footprints have disappeared. Because Krishna doesn't walk away. When Krishna becomes upset with Radharani, he just disappears from there. And they're looking around, they don't see any footprints anywhere. What happened? And then they're looking around, they see suddenly Radharani just fall on the ground. Because it's so dark over there, they do not see her at present, initially when they come. And then they say, who is this? The gopis start talking. Oh, surely this must be Radharani. But then the gopis say, Krishna, he cannot leave Radha like this. He loves her more than anyone else. Krishna's own life can go away, but he cannot leave Radha and go away. This cannot be Radharani. This must be some illusion created by Maya. Some illusory form who looks like Radha. And he says, where is Krishna? Where is Radha? So another gopi says, no. The gopis who are in Radharani's group, they say, no. They come closer and they look at it. This is Radharani. Can't you see? The tears have created a path on her face as they have flown incessantly down. And she is afflicted by mortal separation from Krishna. This is no illusion. As they're talking around Radharani, but how could Krishna have left Radha and gone away like this? So then the gopis on Radharani's side, they say, actually Krishna has not left her. Maybe they perform pastimes for a long time, and then Radharani got exhausted. So Radharani is sleeping and Krishna has just gone somewhere else, and Krishna will come back. But then as the gopis touch Radharani, she is not coming back to consciousness. Now the gopis say, this is not sleep. She is actually unconscious. And then she says, if Krishna is nearby, then we would have seen him by now. No, maybe Krishna is some distance away. Because even if Krishna is some distance away, we would have sensed his fragrance. Krishna is not here anywhere. So he says, how can Krishna have left Radha and gone away? Another gopi, she touches Radha and she says, actually he's unconscious. He's not just sleeping. And she's in terrible unconsciousness. It appears as if she has no symptoms of life at all. Her heart has stopped beating. We don't even know if she's breathing at all. And then the gopis, just take a little grass and put her near her nose, and they find a little the grass moves. Yes, there is some life, there is some breath still going on. And they're talking what to do. How can Krishna have left her and gone away like this? And on one side, initially, some of the gopis, they were upset, they were agitated that Krishna left us and went only with Radharani. But now, on seeing how Krishna left even Radharani, all their agitation disappears. Rather than feeling angry that Radharani has gone away with Krishna, they feel angry towards Krishna. How could you have left her alone and gone away like this? So, at that point, they all turn around Radharani. And they start calling out Radharani, start calling out Krishna's name, they start calling Radha's name. And as they keep calling, then they start again enacting Krishna's pastimes. As the Krishna's enactment of Krishna's pastimes becomes deeper and deeper, at that time, they get lost in Krishna's pastimes. And the more they become lost in Krishna's pastimes, the more they invoke Krishna's presence over there. And sensing Krishna's presence, Radharani comes back to consciousness. She says, Krishna, where are you? She looks around and she sees all the gopis. She looks around, she can't see Krishna. She senses that she has fallen on the ground. And then she realizes, she remembers all that has happened. So on one side she's happy that now the other gopis are there with her. She's shattered that Krishna has left her and gone away. And Radharani gets up immediately, although she has been in almost like a mortal swoon. And the desire to be united with Krishna comes back again. She immediately gets up, fully energized, and she says, let us search for Krishna. Krishna must be here nearby somewhere. He's just invisible, but he must be here. And they all start searching for Krishna. They search and search and search, and they can't find Krishna anywhere. They sink into dejection. And then they come so deep inside the forest that they can't see anywhere. They think, what should we do? They say, let us go back to the Jamuna. We'll go back to Jamuna, and there we have performed pastimes with Krishna. And there, if we go back, there we will be able to remember Krishna more. And there we'll call out to Krishna. And when we call out to Krishna, Krishna will appear. And with this hope, they all return, tracing back their footsteps through the darkness. They come back. They come back to the banks of the Jamuna. And there they sit down. And they sit in a circle. And they place a comfortable cloth right at the center, like a throne. And they are in all their combined prayers, they are calling out, Krishna, please appear. Please appear. And the whole Gopi Gita, starting from Jayati Te Dhikam Janmana Vraja Shrayata Indira Shashvadatrahi Daita Drishyatam Dikshutavakas Kavitvai Drutasavas Vam Vichinvate. The gopis are praying, Krishna, you have made this land of Vrindavan auspicious by your appearance. It is already glorious, but your appearance has made it so glorious that even the goddess of fortune now desires to come and stay over here. But, O Lord, you who bring the goddess of fortune wherever you go, how is it that you have brought misfortune in our life? Now, our life is sustained only by service to you. Without service to you, what is the point of our life? By losing you, we are losing our life. How, O Lord, who brings fortune everywhere, are you bringing such misfortune in our life? Now, Jiva Goswami in the Gopal Champu, he analyzes the gopis' prayers. And actually, he actually does an elaborate analysis of the nature of the different gopis. And he says each verse is actually, he identifies this verse in the Gopi Gita is written by this Gopi. This verse is sung by this Gopi. This verse is sung by this Gopi. Actually, the Bhagavatam in this chapter starts with Shri Gopya Uchu. So Uvach is singular, Uchu is plural. So this Gopi Gita is a collective prayer by the Gopis. So all of them are expressing their hearts separation from Krishna. And while they are expressing this separation, each of them speaks one verse. So they are all representing the group, but because it's a group, all having the shared call of their heart, Krishna, please come back. Krishna, please come back. With that call, they are all individually expressing their desire, longing for Krishna to come back. And in this Gopi Gita, there is this contrast which comes up between awareness of Krishna's greatness and unawareness of his greatness. That means, at one level, the gopis know Krishna is God. And they think, Krishna, sorry, we thought of you as an ordinary person. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhil dehi naam antaratma drek. So, they are saying, oh Krishna, now we know, it's the fourth text. Nakhalu gopika. So, we certainly know that you are not Gopika Nandana. We know that you are not Yashoda's son. So, in traditional Indian society, people would not often refer to each other by their names. They would refer to them by their relationship with whom they know. So, they are referring to Krishna as, here, in this particular, Nan Gopika Nandana. We know, Krishna, that you are actually not the son of Yashoda. Then who are you? They describe them. They are Akhila Dehi Naam Antaratma Drek. You are actually the indwelling super soul in the hearts of everyone. Now the different acharyas have given very sweet differing strands of commentary to this, all of which heighten the call of the gopis. Krishna, please come. So here they are saying, you are actually Krishna, you are not the son of Yashoda. You are the indwelling super soul in everyone's heart. And if you are the indwelling super soul in the heart, what is the significance? They're saying, Krishna, you are in our hearts also. You are in our heart also. So can't you see how afflicted we are in separation from you? Please, Krishna, come back. Please, Krishna, come back. Then, Vikhana Sarthito Vishwa Guptaye. That Vikhana, sir, Brahmaji, he prayed to you, Arthito, because he said the universe was afflicted. And therefore you came, Vishwagupta, for the protection of the universe. So then this line also, another acharya explained that actually the fervent call. They are saying that Krishna, you have come to protect the whole universe. And we are also the part of the universe. So you have come to protect the universe. Why are you not protecting us? Instead of protecting us, you are afflicting us. Please, Krishna, come back. And then, in the same verse, where at one level they know Krishna is indwelling super soul in the heart of all living beings. But in the same verse they say, Sakha Udeyivan Satvatam Kule. Sakha Udeyivan. Sakha. Sakha is friend. So they know he is God, but for them, the awareness that Krishna is God doesn't stay for very long. For them, the primary awareness, Krishna, you are our friend. Sattva tam kule, you have appeared in Sattva dynasty. So here the gopis also reveal the knowledge that they know Krishna is actually the son of Vasudev. But that knowledge is in the background. It doesn't come in the foreground for them. The foreground for them is their irresistible love for Krishna, their longing to serve him. In a later verse, they describe the Kaliya pastime in another poetic way. And here, Sri Radharani is also there. She is also offering these prayers. And there's one prayer where he says that, Pranata Dehinam Papakarshanam Trunacharanugam Shriniketanam Fanipanarpitam Te Padambujam Krunakucheshuna Krundiruchayam. So there they're describing the glory of Krishna's lotus feet. And what do they say poetically? First they describe the glory in terms of those who offer obeisances to your lotus feet, they'll become free from all sins. Papa Karshanam. But what is the amazing thing? That those lotus feet, which anybody, which the whole world bows down to, what are those lotus feet doing? They are actually going after the cows. Trunacharanugam. And if they're just going after the cows, that would mean that, is this an ordinary cowherd boy? No. Says, even when they're going after the cows, Shri Niketanam, there are the marks of the lords of fortune residing at those lotus feet over there. And then they very poetically describe the Kalya pastime. What do they say? Fani Fanarpitam Te Padambujam. See, Krishna, you offered your lotus feet to Kalya. Now, Kalya did not feel it was offering. For Kalya, when Krishna was dancing, it was the end of the world. Each feet that was, it was like a thunderbolt crashing on it. But the gopis are thinking here in a poetic way, Krishna, you offered your lotus feet even to Kalya. Why are you not offering them to us? Please offer them to us. So here there is that awareness that Krishna is God. Krishna is so powerful that Krishna danced on the feet of Kalya. But then same, just a few verses later, the gopis pray for him. Actually, Krishna, you have gone to the forest. And now, what is happening? Nalina Sundaram Natate Padam Shila Trunankurai Sidatitina. They say, Krishna, when you have gone in the forest, if you don't want to come back for our sake, at least come back for the sake of your own lotus feet. See, your lotus feet are so soft. With those lotus feet, if you go into the forest, Nalina Sundaram. Nalina is a lotus flower. Actually, a lotus feet are softer than a lotus. And Natate Padam Shila Trunankurai. There are pebbles, there are twigs, there are brambles, there are stones, there are thorns in the forest. And when they touch your lotus feet, if they cause even a tiny scratch on your lotus feet, it will be like a rash against our heart. Our heart rips apart to think that there is even a tiny scratch on your lotus feet. Krishna, please come back. Please come back. So each of these prayers, it's a separate prayer which has its own meaning. But the underlying call of all these prayers is, Krishna, please come back. And to all these prayers, Radharani finally offers her prayer. When Radharani offers her prayer, Krishna, at that time, cannot resist. Krishna has to come back. The Raslila is a pastime that happens in different ways on different occasions. So Krishna performs it many times. So in one particular pastime, when the gopis, they sing all these prayers. Now Srila Prabhupada, he does something fascinating in his Krishna book when he describes this Raslila pastime, this Gopi Gita especially. But before I go to that, let me just talk about another iteration of this Rasalila. And that means when it happens another time, which also demonstrates Radharani's love for Krishna. So the gopis, Krishna has left them, the gopis have sung their prayers, and they sense Krishna's presence in the distance. And they all start running towards Krishna. And as they run towards Krishna, they see some bluish black complexion person. And when they go there, they actually find it is Vishnu. That's four-handed Vishnu with Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. And all the gopis become disappointed. Now yogis are delighted when they see Vishnu. That is the perfection of their life. Dhyana Vasita Tadgate Namanasha Pashantiyam Yogino. But the gopis are so exalted that when they see Vishnu, they feel disappointed. And they offer obeisances to Vishnu. And they say, Vishnu, please tell me, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? They desperately ask. And Krishna, actually that is not Vishnu, that is Krishna only. But Krishna has taken on the form of Vishnu. And Krishna sees how intense is the love of the gopis for him. His throat gets choked up. And he can't speak. He can't speak, so he just points his finger. Points the finger like this. So the gopis, they thank him and they run in that direction. They run in that direction to chase after Krishna. Now Radharani has been so afflicted by separation from Krishna that she's almost unconscious. And that's why she doesn't realize what has happened. When the other gopis catch a sight of Krishna, Radharani is actually seeing Krishna in her heart. And she doesn't notice that Krishna's presence is manifested externally. So, then she all sees all the gopis running in a particular direction. She comes back to external consciousness. She says, oh, they're running. And she understands, oh, they saw Krishna over there. She also starts running. So, in this case, she is the last gopi who comes. And in this last gopi, she is there. She says, Krishna. She says, Vishnu, where is Krishna? And she calls out with such a desperation. A tear is just bathing her whole body. And Krishna sees that, you know, he cannot maintain his facade. He wants to. And he wants to do the same thing that he has done for the gopis. You know, he wants to point out with his finger in the same direction. But just as when Krishna becomes Jagannath, you know, his hands disappear. So like that, Krishna wants to point out his hands, but his hands disappear. And the four-handed Vishnu changes into two-handed Krishna. And thus, Radharani's love causes Krishna to manifest himself, causes Krishna to reveal himself over there. And such is the love of Krishna, of Radharani for Krishna, that even when Krishna doesn't want to manifest himself, he wants to hide, but that love comprises such an irresistible call that Radha Krishna manifests himself. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in his Krishna book, when he renders the 10th canto Praspanchadhyaya into English, there he describes the translations of the Gopi Gita, and then he concludes by that chapter by saying, and this way the gopis chanted Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now somebody skeptical may say, where is the evidence that the gopis chanted Hare Krishna? Hey, the gopis are chanting Gopi Gita. Now of course, there is nobody stopping the gopis from chanting Hare Krishna also. They can chant. But Srila Prabhupada had a very special style, special empowerment to make the transcendental accessible. And, you know, when scripture is to be explained, the point is not just to get it right. The point is to get it across. The point is not just to get it right. Now, Prabhupada could have come to America and just given classes in Sanskrit. He would have got everything right, but he would have got nothing across. So Prabhupada's style of commentary was that he wanted to get it across. He wanted to make the transcendental accessible. And the pathway for us to rise to the highest levels of bhakti that are demonstrated by the gopis, that is demonstrated by Radharani, that pathway Srila Prabhupada is giving us in his rendering of the Gopi Gita. So just as the gopis sang prayers of the Gopi Gita in separation from Krishna, similarly for us, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is a call in separation from Krishna. So of course, there is a difference. For the gopis, there is already love for Krishna, and they are calling out in separation. For us, there is separation, but there is not much love right now. So we have to cultivate that attraction to Krishna. Krishna also says, Atachittam samadhatum nashaknosi maistiram. Abhyasa yoginato mamichhaptum dhananjaya. And by repeatedly striving to fix the mind on me, the attraction for me will awaken. So that sadhana bhakti which we practice is meant to enable us to develop attraction for Krishna. And the summit of those who have attraction for Krishna is Srimati Radharani. So on Radharani's appearance day, at one level we can appreciate, according to our tiny capacity, her exalted love for Krishna. But along with that, we can also seek her mercy. She is at one level a devotee, the topmost devotee. But another level, she is God manifesting in a female form. So when we want to appreciate her devotion, we discuss her pastimes where she is so selflessly absorbed in Krishna. And when we see her on appearance day, she is also God in a female form. We beg for her mercy. She who enables us to access Krishna. And we see even in the most exalted levels, it is the relationship with Krishna is never alone. Radharani is alone with Krishna, but Radharani is also, she's concerned about the other gopis. And she's concerned about them and she cares for them. So we cannot practice bhakti alone in isolation from others. Now, we practice it in relationship with other devotees. Now, and I conclude with this point, that when an airplane is to fly off, now, it cannot just be on the ground at one moment and next moment it is in the air. The airplane has to gain momentum while it is on the ground. And as its speed increases, that momentum eventually enables it to take off. So similarly, we are in this world where we are having so many mundane relationships, so many relationships with people in this world. We cannot suddenly develop a relationship with Krishna. Now, we have to cultivate selflessness in our relationships with devotees. That helps us to develop the momentum. And as that momentum increases, just as the airplane, it gets a particular speed, then it takes off from the earth. So like that, the more we cultivate selflessness in our relationship with devotees, it's on the ground, it's not mundane, but still it's a relationship with others in this world. But the more we cultivate that, the momentum develops and then we can take off. And that, this is an exalted pastime, but the theme I focused on is that even at the highest level among the gopis, the focus is on caring for each other. Radharani cares for the gopis, gopis care for Radharani. They are not all alone caring for Krishna. They're all together caring for each other and caring for Krishna. And that is the mood in which we can serve Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada said that the Krishna consciousness movement is nourished by the sixfold exchanges among the devotees, which are described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the Upadesha Amrita. So we can pray to Srimati Radharani that we get attraction towards Krishna and we also get selflessness in our relationship with those who are also striving to love Krishna. And thus we can follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction to cooperate and move forward in sharing his mission in this world as well as in our own hearts. Thank you very much. Srimati Radharani ki.
Chaitanya Chan Guru ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Chan Prabhu has many books that he has written, and he also has a pen drive with more than 600 audio files. So if you like to get from him, you can approach him. Hare Krishna. Now we'll have the Abhishek. He actually travels all over the world doing the same thing. If you would like to see the books, they are towards the back, they are Kadamba Kanana Prabhu has them.
Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Shyam, Jai Shri Vrindavan. Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Shyam, Jai Shri Vrindavan. Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Shyam. Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Shri Shyam, Jai Shri Vrindavan.
Thank you.